This is part two of a two-part previously recorded interview. How is a four-year-old going to better identify with the word sad by saying some other word, and what is that other word?
So we would help them through the books and the songs to identify characters who have similar feelings and put words to those feelings that that character is feeling, and then identify how that feels for them internally. So by their behaviors, be able to say to a child, you know, right now you are yelling or you're crying, and are you frustrated or are you sad? And this is what that looks like. So to help them figure out those words is where we're focused on, because the parents then have the ability to model that for the kids, if that makes sense.
Okay, well, maybe. let me see if I can comprehend this. Just trying to use something that I'm going to take a leap and say is universal. So through some books that have been read with a parent reading to a child, or songs that have been sung, that a child is exhibiting an emotion, and a parent may say, "This is how you're behaving. Do you feel like Curious George did here when he was unable to fix the car?" I mean, is that what we're talking about? This, you know, identifying their own behavior and projecting it onto a character in a book that has been a shared experience by the parent and child? Or, I mean, I'm really trying to get to a granular level to understand how this translates so that there's a comprehension and a communication between the parent and child.
Yes. So to your point, it's helping those children develop the words to use for their sensations or the things that they're feeling. And they develop those words through those books, through those songs, through those hands-on activities to better understand those pieces. And then having the parent understand why it's important to pick up on their child's emotions and help put words to those emotions for the child. And so they're both learning the same words for those emotions, and both learning to identify those words. And that's where that really is focused. So you can imagine that in situations where families are experiencing stress, that it's difficult for parents to be really tuned in sometimes to their children. All parents, sometimes it's difficult for them to tune into their children. And what this really does is it helps to teach parents how to best do that. And so some parents are able to pick that up through the way that they were parented, or through the things that they've learned, and other parents don't have as many tools in their tool belt. So it's really helping those parents identify and understand how that impacts their child and how they can help their child to learn those words and learn to interact in an appropriate and responsive way to their child, if that makes sense.
Sure, sure. But is there a different vocabulary list? I mean, is sad referred to as sad, or is it referred to as something else?
You know what? That's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that question because I haven't looked really comprehensively at the curriculum that we're using, but it would identify those words that are common names for words. So it wouldn't identify something as sad and call it something different. What it does is it just identifies the child to be able to say what that looks like. So for children who are very young, they have trouble attaching a common word for a feeling to that feeling. And so when you're able to internalize that and understand those words yourself, you're better able to react to things. And that's what parents are doing too, is helping their child. So if you have a child who's upset, you can help identify what those feelings might be for that child so that they can then identify them themselves, and they're reinforced and their feelings are validated, if that makes sense.
Okay. How long does this program go on?
So it's really interesting because we had to modify our delivery of the program because we're doing it virtually. The program was originally designed to happen in preschool classrooms, and then for us, we've modified it to provide it in a home visitation setting. And the program goes for a series of 6 weeks where you're meeting directly with the parent and directly with the child.
at the conclusion of these 6 weeks, because this is a pilot program, what happens next? Is this something that is rolled out then, or does Harvard then take a look at the results and decide to retool it? Or I mean, what is your expectation as far as Nebraska Children's Home Society and the use of this moving forward?
Great question. What's really fascinating about this project and Frontiers of Innovation in general is what they want to do is small little pilots to see if it works and then expand it to other areas. So what we would do is we have a small number of families we're working with. Delaware has a small number of families they're working with, Wisconsin as well. You combine all that data together, you see what has happened with this adaptation, and then you make some decisions based upon places that it worked or areas that it didn't work. What Harvard does is they want to do rapid cycle and see if they work. For us, we'd be collecting all that data, giving that to Harvard, and then what are the implications for this model being replicated in other areas, and what would that look like?
Seeking a loving home for every single child, Nebraska Children's Home Society CEO Lana Temple Plotz has joined me. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time. What a fascinating program, and good luck with that.
Thank you so much.